At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties. And they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, February 8th, 2023. It is the Beating the Book podcast, Super Bowl 57 props edition. It is our final podcast of the football season. We'll be back soon. Skill Alexander, by the way, back soon with a Indian Wells podcast for tennis's fifth major. Also a March Madness pod. Jeff, you'll join us for that. By the way, the normal staples of the show are here with us. Jeff Parlay to my left at the South Point studio. VSiN host, how you doing, Jeffrey?
I'm good. It only feels like it's been about 14 weeks leading up to this game.
it's really the appropriate amount of time between the championship games and the Super Bowl ought to really be 1 week and a half. 1 week is too short for promotion. 2 weeks is too long, but you cannot play a Super Bowl on Wednesday night, I'm told.
Yeah, you play it on Thursday night since we play football every night.
Oh, that's true. You could do that.
Why not? But you're right. 10 days is perfect. 14 is too long. 7's not enough.
Todd Wishnev is the other staple of the show. He joins us in studio as well. Todd, nice college basketball day you had yesterday. Well done.
Not really. I could have done much better.
How? I went like 8-1 on your picks.
I understand, but I could have like had UNCG over second half I didn't do.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also didn't do Butler when I liked them +3.5 late in the game. There was a number of like missed opportunities.
Todd Wishnev, college basketball in-game savant. And joining us on the Super Bowl Megapod, which is somewhat of a tradition because this is where he made his hay, where he first gained some fame in the sports betting world. It's Rufus Peabody, everybody. How you doing, Rufus?
I'm doing well, Gil.
We just did a numbers game, so Rufus and I are acting like we're just meeting for the first time. So we're just going to run it back here and ask you some of the same questions. Before we get into this, Tim Lawson. Do y'all know Tim Lawson? Tim Lawson, who hosts the Better Life podcast, who is just the greatest dude in the world. And by the way, the Better Life really had a great niche of podcasting through the years, which Tim found. Couldn't be prouder of him. But he is also the de facto Megapod historian. He's also the historian for the whole Beating the Book podcast, but he's a Megapod historian. And just some notes, and this is just my sort of love letter to the Megapod audience as we do our last show of the year. The Megapod specifically began in the year 2011, was first called the Betting Dork, with rotating co-hosts Marco D'Angelo and Vegas Runner. Joe Gavazzi was the first quote-unquote guest, but was part of the stable of rotating co-hosts. Joe Fortenball was the first non-co-host to appear on the Megapod week 4 of 2011. That's how long I've been doing a podcast. Good God. Marco and VR co-hosted from 2012 to 2018. Todd Wishnev and Mike Palm 2019 to 2021. Todd and Jeff 2022. That's when you guys started. Betting Dork Megapod, 2011 to 2013. Beating the Book Megapod, 2014 to the present. Any guesses as to who has made the most guest appearances on this show through the years? On the Megapod specifically?
No idea. I remember my first appearance, though. It was Masters 2013.
Oh, wow. Yes, but that's beyond the Megapod. So that we have to parse that out. We have to do the Megapod. This is just
that was Betting Dork.
Yes. The Megapod is just the Thursday football show, and then everything else is everything else. So we got to do that. But 2013 was your first. Wow. Most guest appearances on the Megapod ever. Joe Fortenbaugh, ladies and gentlemen, 18 total appearances. Debut in 2011. Number two, Brady Cannon. I would not have had Brady Cannon at number two. 17 appearances, 2013 was his first. Ed Fang, 14 appearances, 2013. Johnny Detroit, 12 guest appearances through the years. 2011 debut. Rufus Peabody, 11 appearances on the Megapod alone.
11?
Just on the Megapod. Not even the golf ones.
I would have taken the under.
2013 debut.
I remember I was talking about the Chicago Bears quarterback situation while sitting on, I was in Miami Beach for Art Basel.
For Art Basel.
Yeah.
The most famous Rufus Peabody appearance happened off air, though, as I recall.
Yes.
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 Aaron Schatz, 11 appearances, 2011 debut. Mark Meltzer, 12, but all lifestyle episodes. Wow, these are amazing to me. This might be only interesting to me, but this is my love letter to the audience, so you guys just sit tight for a second. Fortenbaugh missed 2015, 2016, 2020, and 2021, and is still the highest, has the most guest appearances. Cannon, longest current running annual appearance since 2013. Schatz would have been the longest since 2011, but he missed 2021. Meltzer, technically the longest running, but it's all lifestyle, all 12. 9 episodes had no rotating guest. Why did we have no rotating guest 9 times through the years? That's interesting. But that's like more years than missed episodes with rotating guests. First Thanksgiving week we did on the Megapod 2019. First episode in the last week of the regular season we did in 2015. And here are some randoms. I'm almost at the end here, guys. One-time guest since 2011. Ready for these randos? Shouldn't call them randos. They're all great. Nick Bakay, 2011. You remember him?
No.
He was the first guy on ESPN that did gambling. Advantage Push.
No idea who
he's
that
a comedy writer.
I remember Nick Bakay.
He did.
Didn't he do World Series Poker too?
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah. Mall Cop. No, whatever. Remember that, but
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Kelly in Vegas 2012. Brian Grayson 2012. Evan Abrams 2013. Anita Marks 2014. Chicago Ballers. They won the Super Contest 2015. Reese Waters 2016. Jeff Ma. You know him, Rufus.
I do know him.
2016. Damon Graham, who won the Super Contest 2017. Big Al McMorty 2018. Wow. Tim Lawson himself in 2018 and Brad Poors in 2020. And then the final questions. First debuted in week 2 of 2011. Biggest favorite to win outright. Which team most desperate to win? Which games should you steer clear of at all costs? All debuted 2012. Teasers and Survivor became weekly staple in 2020. Thank you, Tim Lawson. Megapod historian. Now that we're through that, Rufus, let me start with you. I just asked you this on a numbers game. I'm going to ask you to run it back. You were first highlighted in a Washington Post piece. You were on a numbers game. You told me how that came to be about you betting Super Bowl props. It used to be that the Westgate opened at a defined time every week. That was the first game in town. You would line up, and that was the Mecca. No longer the case. How has it shifted through the years? How do you bet this differently now?
I believe the Westgate also used to be on Tuesday.
Oh, I thought it was like Thursday. Okay.
I think it was Tuesday. Maybe, like, nobody's corrected me, but I remember in, like, 2009, 2010, it was Tuesday. But maybe some historian can tell me if I'm wrong, or Jay Cornegay. So what's changed is the fact that with legalization now, DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars, et cetera, are opening on Monday. They're coming out with player props on Monday. And so we're not getting true openers at Westgate anymore. The market, and that's been the case actually for a number of years too. I mean, even before legalization in other states, I remember you had one year the M opening.
And the
CG.
The M was Cantor Gaming. Yeah,
Cantor Gaming opening before Westgate did. And so I think Westgate was the first with the extensive prop menu, though. But now it's there's still the pageantry of it. It's an annual tradition.
Mm-hmm. It's an annual sports
betting. It's like it's a meet and greet among other bettors in a way, or at least a few of them.
We spoke about this. There was a period of time here where you knew when the Westgate always announced, we are opening at this time on whatever day. But I remember there was a lot of years, and this is still the case really in Vegas specifically. You don't know now you do, because William Hill puts them out the next Monday after the conference championships, like all the formulaic ones. So you're right, it's kind of immediate now in other spots. But like there was a bunch of years there in the middle where I remember, you know, oh, the Westgate's opening at this hour. We don't know when the South Point is opening. We don't know when William Hill. And you literally would have to drive around the strip pre-apps.
Gil, we had 8 people doing this.
Yes.
So we had 4 runners and 4 like main partners back in the day. And we were all, I guess one person was piloting and everybody else had someplace they were going. I remember my business partner Train walked like 12 miles one day, just looping between Wynn, Palazzo, and Treasure Island, doing that loop to hit all those books because, you know, the goal was never to have more be away from a book for more than 30 minutes. And so
what a time.
Yeah. I remember one year where someone was literally camped out at the Wynn for 3 straight days, did nothing. And that had to be the most boring thing ever, sitting at the Wynn Sportsbook, because we wanted to be first to those props.
But that's how it was. And now there's apps, obviously. And so,
but then it was refreshing apps.
Refreshing apps, right.
In a way, it might be worse.
More brain dead.
You know,
yes.
At least the first one, you get some walking in occasionally. Yeah.
This requires no exercise.
Yeah.
So, and the biggest difference then is you used to, the majority of your money was bet that as soon as they opened.
Yeah.
Now that's not the case.
There isn't the same return to hustle anymore.
Define that.
You gained such an edge by hustling.
If you weren't first, it was gone.
Yeah. I talked with Frank B about this on a live stream we did yesterday for Unabated, and you know how we would just see each other racing to be first at all these different books.
Yeah, because if you weren't first, and this applied to any kind of thing, like I remember like the NFL draft as well, if you weren't first, it was gone. Like the value was gone.
Well, what you want is that gravy. You know, the win would hang will there be a roughing the passer prop every year? And they open at -115, -115. You know, I bet the no at -115. I bet the no at -130, -145, -160, -190. And this is before all the protecting quarterback legislation. Roughing the passer calls did not happen as often then as they do now. And so every year, though, Johnny Avella would open it again at -115. And you know why? He probably looked and saw that's what the prop sheet looked like last year.
That's right.
You book it once a year. I mean, you're not putting a lot of effort into that. But now these props are getting booked like every week. Maybe not this specific one, but these types of props are being booked every week by a lot of these U.S. operators. And so they get that feedback from people betting it. And if they were booking the roughing the passer prop every week at the Wynn back in 2013, you wouldn't see that value.
So the edge you had on openers, because it's a regular thing for them to book now, is gone. It's not confined to just Super Bowl week. Correct. So you bet much less now. You do make some bets at the top, but you are waiting closer to game time to make most of your prop bets now.
Yeah. I mean, we've realized over the last few years that there just is so much value on game day that we're trying to get to. It becomes a logistics issue, though. Sometimes, I mean, think about the lines at sports books.
Oh, it's brutal.
And there's a lot of books where you can get down more in person in Vegas than you can on the apps. And then you also have apps that are going to be absolutely like inundated with traffic and apps crashing and going slow and stuff like that. I mean, that was an issue last year as well. So it's going to be like wake up and fire on Sundays.
Where we do this podcast from, the South Point is one of those examples. They take much more money at the desk than they do on the app. That's by Michael Gaughan's edict. He just wants it that way. So you have to know how every book operates in that regard. And the reason, and just like cutting to the simplicity of this, the exploitation of it closer to game time has everything to do with the fact that the public bettor's brain is wired to bet overs. And so you are generally betting unders on things closer to game time.
Correct. The positions I have so far are largely on overs.
Right.
Because those are bets that will not be there on Super Bowl Sunday, I don't think. And I'm betting things that I think will not be there. So
are you a middler by nature or no?
No.
You are not.
No, I'm not. I'm going to find, if there's a middle where both sides are profitable, I'll take it. But otherwise not.
Yeah. We'll get into some of your bets that you've made. Let's talk about the game itself first, and let's get that out of the way. And I do mean out of the way. I don't mean to sound flippant about it, but it's like, we've been talking about this game for 2 weeks. The Eagles are 2-point favorites here.
Who's playing this week?
Yes, it's true. It's Washington versus Pittsburgh, Todd. It's amazing how this happened.
I'll take the Yenzers. Give me the points.
So Eagles favored by 2. We just had Drew Dinsick on a numbers game on this morning, a frequent guest of this podcast as well. He gave an impassioned speech as to why he thinks this number is way off. He's all about the Chiefs. Do you have any play on the side or total?
I don't.
Not at all.
I want the Chiefs to win because I stand to do better based on some futures bets I placed in the last month.
Todd, do you have a side or total on this?
No. But I wanted to ask Rufus something about how props to me are so very linked to what's going to happen in the game. So in a sense, sometimes if you're betting a lot of props and you don't realize that you're not really neutral, you're really making a bet on a particular team. You know, so does that happen to you, or do you have so much distribution that you're going to end up like really fully neutral, which I find hard to.
I end up pretty neutral, but you're right that there are a lot of props are linked to the spread and the total. And so it's what the distribution of possible game states that could occur for a game that is basically a pick'em.
Right, so I mean, you could end up in a scenario where if your model keeps spitting out stuff, in a sense, you just have one gigantic bet on one team because you have all the props on one team. I'm not saying that you would, but I'm saying theoretically, sometimes I feel like, oh, people are betting like 25 props and they have like 21 of them on overs of this one team. In a sense, you could just bet that team. You know what I mean?
Well, your prop bet should be correlated to your game handicap, right? That does make sense.
Right, but I'm using the market as my game handicap. Yeah. I'm assuming the market is fairly sharp. It is a pretty big market.
Yeah.
I see. And so you'll be enough distributed.
My bigger concern is let's say I have Hurts projected to fewer completions than the market. Then suddenly all my receivers are going to have unders as a result of that. Mm-hmm. So that's the bigger concern there.
Because it becomes a domino effect.
Right. Because those are derivatives. There's a pie and those catches have to go somewhere, right? And if I have a smaller pie, then each slice is going to be smaller.
Which Super Bowl was your biggest winner? Which was your biggest loser?
I don't know in terms of absolute money, which was the biggest winner. My biggest in terms of percentage return was my first one because I hit Gary Russell to score the first touchdown in the 2009 Super Bowl. I still to this day haven't watched that. That was Pittsburgh, Arizona.
Wow.
That was when I was working at Las Vegas.
I had over 23 and a half. The score was 10-7. They were at the 2-yard line over 23 and a half first half. It was 10-7. And what's his name? Warner was at the 2-yard line for what's it called? And I'm like, and there was only 12 seconds left. Yeah. And I just was like, please get the touchdown. And I'm rooting against my own Steelers because I want the touchdown for the over. And then Harrison intercepts it. And it's the longest run of my life. And he's running and they're going to tackle him and they can't get him. And then finally at the way end, they call the touchdown. But they're like, was he really in? Was he not really? Then we had to endure an entire review scenario.
That was James Harrison.
Barely was in. James Harrison.
That was the James Harrison. That ended up being the play
of the game.
The play of that Super Bowl. Because if Arizona scores there, they're up at halftime. They probably win the game. I totally forgot about the existence of Gary Russell until you just brought it up.
That allowed for the Santangelo, what was his name?
Santonio Holmes
toe tap touchdown to win it at the end.
Not Santana Moss. No. That was a very different person.
Moss, one of the all-time very goods.
That was one of the most underratedly great Super Bowls of all time.
It was phenomenal. You have a franchise like Pittsburgh, but
it was the Cardinals. You don't normally think about it, but that game was absolutely incredible because the Fitzgerald touchdown right before the Holmes touchdown, Larry was on had the best postseason by a wide receiver ever that year. But that
he had one catch going into like the fourth quarter, apparently, and then he took over the game.
Well, you see most receivers from Pittsburgh and that University of Pittsburgh. Yeah, they're great receivers in that.
I was at the par 3 golf course, which is now the like TaylorMade or whatever, you know, right south of the strip, south of the airport.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
because I was so nervous. I had like my entire net worth tied up in Super Bowl props.
You didn't watch it,
and I had borrowed money and had people invest in me. I didn't watch it. No.
Oh, I am so wired differently than you. I could not do that.
Look, this is 2009. I had graduated from college 6 months before.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't ready. I mean, I
wasn't ready for it.
I didn't have all this experience to fall back on. I was like, if it goes poorly, maybe this I wasn't cut out for this industry.
What was your biggest loss in a Super Bowl? When did the props domino effect go against you, if you will?
Eagles-Patriots.
Eagles-Patriots, which one?
The Philly special.
The Philly special one.
Was there another? Oh, Eagles-Patriots 2003 or whatever.
Donovan. 2006. In the last one of those. Drive, yeah.
I was not 21 years old at that point.
Yeah.
But no, the Eagles-Patriots, I remember we all watched it at Train's place over by the Legacy Golf Club and like hopped out and played the, we lost so much. We knew it was bad at halftime. We played that, we hopped onto the course and played the little par three hole, the signature hole there, like bare feet and at halftime with a lot of beer. We needed a lot of beer that year. That was brutal. We just got absolutely destroyed.
Here's what I will say about this game before I get to your thoughts, Jeff, which is, I have a bet on the Chiefs, money line, +115. And I've only made one prop bet so far that's correlated to the, you know, to the game itself. I do have some offshore wacky ones that I'll get into. But the only thing I will say about this is the central thing for this is the Eagles, as great as they've been this year, played a really easy schedule. And I know it's very weird to say that for a team that's headed to the Super Bowl. You can only play the teams in front of you. It's not their fault. But what it did allow for the Eagles to do all year long is get ahead of their opponents at a higher rate than would have otherwise been. And so they've been really allowed to play to their game script more often than not. Of all teams, the Washington Commodores were the one team that sort of bucked that against them. Like, no, we're going to move the chains, we're going to matriculate, and we're going to just screw you up. So we don't have it. And the Chiefs might be awesome, and they might win the Super Bowl. But I'm saying the one thing we don't really no is what happens if they get popped in the mouth early and they trail. So I think the one thing that I have settled on is the outcome of scoring for the Chiefs is more defined than it is for the Eagles. Like if the Eagles fall behind in this game, there is a scenario where I think they could actually get rolled. Could see them winning too, but I don't see the Chiefs getting rolled. I could see the Eagles getting rolled. What did you bet here?
I have Kansas City.
Yep,
you talked about it with Kelly last week, and I know Mahomes is not 100% healthy, but if you put Mahomes on Philadelphia, you flip the quarterbacks here, and this is no disrespect to Hurts. This is how good Mahomes is. This is close to a touchdown.
I agree.
With Philadelphia.
Yes.
And the one concern that I have with my bet on Kansas City is, does this turn into what we saw 2 years ago again, where – Kansas City's offensive line this year is way better than what they had going into that game against Tampa. But what happens if this Philly pass rush that has been the third most sacks in league history? They have four guys with 11 or more. What happens if that pass rush dominates the game like they did early against San Francisco, like they did against the Giants, like they did most of the regular season? That's my only holdup here.
So you actually disagree with my premise. You think Chiefs,
I think both teams are capable of getting rolled.
Interesting.
I think it's a coin flip game, which makes me think it's unlikely for a rolling, but there is the possibility that Kansas City can't block and Philly's D-line takes over the game like they have this whole postseason.
That is the biggest thing for new bettors. I don't know how many new bettors are listening to the podcast, but because we sort of have our established listeners, but just because it's the Super Bowl doesn't mean you should be betting, because it's the big game, your biggest amount of money. Keep that in mind. I know the new bettors tend to think, well, oh my God. And then, by the way, there's one big Super Bowl truism just in terms of Super Bowl behavior. For whatever reason, through the years,
at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
During the regular season, the public will often bet the underdog with the points. For the Super Bowl, they bet the underdog on the money line. I don't know if it's a last shebang thing for the year, and so they want to go for broke. What it has done is created some muted money lines on the favorite through the years. Now, this one isn't as pronounced because it's a shorter line, but that tends to be the behavior of how people bet this game. Just sort of side note on this. So,
I mean, if you forced me to bet this game, I would take the Chiefs.
I'm not going against Mahomes.
Andy Reid
off the bye.
Andy Reid off the bye. Did you hear Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season? He hasn't.
But Andy Reid last week, that was why when 2 weeks ago when we talked about the game, the Kansas City game. Now, somehow I liked Kansas City and ended up losing money on the game. But remember I said I thought Andy Reid might be sneaky here. And just, I know Sirianni's a good coach and everything, but has he ever been in this big spot?
Well, no. He's never been to a Super Bowl.
I don't think he has. Yeah. And I just think Andy Reid has, and that's got to be worth something, you know? I mean, obviously, I'm not betting at pregame. I'm just saying.
I do have a bet on the Chiefs.
By the way, Gil, to your point, the average offensive play for the Eagles this year was winning by 5.4 points. For the Chiefs, it was 3.1. And in the second half, up 8.3 points. And they were only trailing for 17.4% of their offensive plays the second half of games this year, season.
So I know Eagles fans hate me because it sounds like I'm knocking them. I'm not. They're awesome. But that's a really weird thing to try to evaluate. Because if you don't have that many examples of you trailing and having to change how you play the game, their biggest win this year, it can be argued, was over the Detroit Lions. Rufus gave me an expression.
I haven't looked.
No, if you go back through the game.
By the way, the Chiefs also have been playing from positive game scripts. They've only been down 24% of their plays in the second half.
And yeah, but we've seen them win all kinds of ways.
The Eagles had a lot of games where they're up a huge at halftime, and then they just shut everything down.
Which is great. Again, it's not their fault. That's awesome. But it does give you pause when jumping to the conclusion that the Eagles are this, oh my God, they're this most amazing thing.
Well, do you remember the Colts game where they had a stinker in their pants and they almost lost that game?
A stinker in their pants. Well said.
A real stinker.
Yeah.
And they barely squeaked that out. Barely.
Todd Wishnev.
They had the adult diapers.
Todd Wishnev, who has given us Tuchus push and Swamp Tuchus in the last couple weeks.
Well, you can get Swamp Tuchus very easily in certain venues. Yeah. Even if you get a comfy seat, if the material can lead to Swamp Tuchus if you're wearing the wrong pants.
Yeah. Well, glad we got that clarified.
Yeah.
Dude, the seat in my car, if I'm having a long trip.
Yeah.
Like
Swamp Tuchus?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Rufus has ever said the word Tuchus before in his life. Would you say Tuchus for all of us, Rufus?
Tuchus.
It's not Tuchus.
Tuchus.
You gotta get that ch in there. Tuchus. There you go.
I took German for many years.
So this podcast is worth doing just for that. okay, Rufus, we talked about this on a numbers game. Some of the props that you have bet so far. And let me just give me the historical example that I gave on ANG, which is during the Super Bowl, the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl, the one where the score 28-3 is actually more famous than the final score, the big Tom Brady Patriots comeback. I spent the second half of that game back here in the South Point office with Chrissy Andrews and Vinny Maiulo, and one of Rufus's bets was the Patriots landing exactly on 9. And remember, on the 28-3 comeback, the Patriots scored, Gostkowski missed an extra point, and so it was 28-9 for a moment. It was probably like 10, 15 minutes in real time, but Chrissy was dying.
But it was already the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was.
Was it fourth already?
Fourth quarter, 28-9 going into the fourth quarter.
So they were on the hook for six figures just on that bet alone from you.
I think I tweeted out that ticket like when there was 9 points. I think I tweeted after the game being like it was close.
By the way, and think about how ridiculous it was. They won like what, 37-31 in overtime or something like that?
34-28.
34-28, yeah. Thank you. So I knew Jeff would know. Yeah. They actually end up covering.
They covered. Trust me, I was on Atlanta that day. I know.
There's a point though where if they had kind of rolled over, I mean, it was a blowout game.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It could have, yeah.
Dude, I remember. I mean,
it's not like they were, actually they did kick a field goal. You were thinking they wouldn't kick a field goal. But
so
kicked it to make it 28-12.
Yeah.
Because
then you still need two touchdowns and two 2-point conversions. Yeah.
You hit big on the Rams ending up with 3 points in the subsequent Super Bowl, the Patriots-Rams Super Bowl.
That was the action Super Bowl.
That was the action Super
Bowl. Colts-Saints Super Bowl. I hit Colts to get exactly 17 and Saints to get exactly 31.
And so you have...
That was... The Colts were the favorite. So those were both kind of unexpected outcomes. I mean, those are very common numbers.
So one of the bets that you've made is you have the Chiefs to score exactly 0 points.
I have a lot of random...
What's your
index
number?
On props.
Give us some of those.
Okay. I have Mahomes. I bet at the South Point here, Mahomes exactly 2 touchdown passes at plus 240.
Okay.
Hurts exactly 2 touchdown passes at plus 275.
The Kansas City Chiefs to get exactly 0 points.
And
by
you
the way.
Just did these because
hold
they.
Hold on, Todd.
I bet them to score exactly 23 points also.
How much is that? What's the return on that?
I think it was like 12 to 1 or something.
The 0 points, if I can finally get it out, is 200 to 1. If the Chiefs end up with 0 points, it's 200 to 1.
I bet, who was it? I bet that there would be no touchdown in the game in the, was it the AFC Championship game last week? Or no, which one was the second game?
That was the AFC.
That was the, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and there wasn't a touchdown until like close to the end of the second quarter, right?
What was the number on that?
I bet it's circa 420 to 1. They took $500 to win 210,000.
Good God. They took a nickel on it.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. I appreciated that.
All right.
Now, are you betting those 2 touchdowns because you see the distribution of them getting exactly 2 touchdowns as more than the plus 225 based on the season or something?
Wait, 2 touchdowns?
You just said you bet
2 touchdowns passes.
Exactly 2 touchdowns. For instance, and you said at plus 2, what'd you say?
Mahomes exactly 2 at plus 240.
Okay, so you're saying basically that 60-something percent, more than 31% of the time, he's or something in that range, he's going to get exactly 2 touchdowns.
It's based on my projection for his number of passing touchdowns and the distribution of passing touchdowns and what that fits in.
Right, so what is the distribution of exactly 2, according to you?
What do you mean? Like
you're saying that the distribution
So I can model out what basically historically based on what a guy's projected passing touchdowns would be, what does that historic distribution look like? And
Todd is asking, what's the fair price?
Oh, okay. What's the fair price?
Yeah.
What percentage of times does he actually get exactly 2 touchdowns?
Like, has he in the past? I have no idea, and I don't really care.
Oh, it's all based on your modeling.
Yes,
exactly. I see. Okay. So yeah.
It's not based on his history. It's based on the
fact. This game, the defense, and all the other nonsense.
Well, it comes down to what my projection is. The fact that he's like projected, I have him at like maybe 1.9 touchdowns, something like that. I think the market's right around 2.
I see.
And it's going to keep going up. I think I have him at 1.97 maybe.
How much time does it take you to pour over all of these?
I make that number plus 214, by the way.
Okay. There's your answer. So there's the edge.
So this doesn't take me much time because this is all automatically done, basically.
Right.
The work has been done ahead of time.
But because different books have different props, like how long does that whole process take? We're like, well, I've looked through all 400 at the South Point and I can do this one, this one, this one, this one. Now I got to look at every William Hill one. Like, I mean,
it must take forever.
How long is that?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of know where to look too.
But is it just
you? I'm not looking
this?
At the. Not just me, no, but. It's the game is basically a pick, and you have all these props that are like first team to do this. Like
right.
You don't even need to look through those, most of them.
Well, there's
like
a lot of that.
First team to punt.
Yeah.
Although Jeff thinks there's value in the Chiefs at minus 115 because the Eagles go for it so much. But I don't think it's
Jeff being Jeff Mom.
Jeff Mom,
Jeff
sorry.
It's funny, my prop is based on a punt thing too. That's the one that I left. Oh.
But yes, it takes a while to go through those. But
well, that brings up something. So in some Super Bowls, we have the benefit of knowing that one team is more likely to receive and the other is more likely to defer. And so it allows props to flow from there. We don't have that this year because they're both defer teams, right?
I kind of like that. It makes it easier in a way.
Meaning there's less to bet.
Well, it makes the first quarter and the first team to do something easier to model for sure.
Yeah. See, the average person would look at that differently. The average person would say, oh, no. Now it induces a bet for me. Whereas in this scenario, it's like, well, I don't know who's going to be the first to score, but you don't see it that way.
Well, it basically crosses off a whole section of potential
bets. That's what I mean.
But I think the other thing is the fact that the game is so close to a pick is the bigger issue. If a game with a spread of 10 is much better because books or at least it was 10, 12 years ago when books didn't really realize how to price which team will score first or, you know, three unanswered scores or, you know, things where
they don't know the correlation between a 10-point favorite and those kind of bets.
Exactly. It's versus if it's a pick, you know, okay, hey, they're equally likely.
Let me bring this in and tell me if you agree. I always say every year, I say the prop that flummoxes new bettors the most is a team scoring three consecutive times, extra points, 2-point conversions accepted. The way that that's priced at a glance to newer bettors, where it says, oh, three, these are two of the best teams in the NFL, if not the two best. Obviously, scoring three times in a row has got to be rare.
Plus money?
Or how's the yes such big plus money that would happen? Because three in a row, but it's really properly priced that it does happen all the time. And it does appropriately also flip when it's four consecutive, then the no becomes the big favorite. But people look at that three in a row and they're like, oh, that's an easy bet. I should make it. It's exactly how it should be priced.
It is. But I'll say I had a disagreement with another really sharp prop better back like 2008, 2009 about this prop. And I still think there are kind of differences among sharper people on how to approach it.
Because
The thought would be, if there's more points scored, there's more opportunities to have three unanswered scores.
Makes sense.
But also, if the total, so a higher total should equal more
chances for that to happen.
Right. But at least last time I ran this, like that isn't necessarily the case because
it gives more time for the other team to score.
Because with the higher the total, the less independent each score is. So the more you need more stops in a row. So the ideal thing for it is like a high spread and a low total.
Like a 24-3 game or something like that, right?
Low total is the ideal for three in a row.
Basically, right. But for the newbie better though, if you think about it, think about how many games do you have where there's no back-to-back scores. Like it almost never happens. This team scores, the other team scores, I don't know. What the number would be, one in like 50, maybe?
No.
Maybe probably higher. Right. And each of those times you have back-to-back, you have an opportunity.
Every single time.
Third. And so all you have to do is hit one of those.
The recipe is a low scoring, one team shutting the other team down defensively. That's the recipe for that thing to hit is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like 27-3 or something like that.
Well, if I knew the score would be 27-3, then you can't get there without the unanswered scores, I don't think.
Right, but I'm saying that's the idea is you have to get more stops.
I guess you could, but...
Could you? Well, I guess how could you without...
Touchdown, opponent field goal, touchdown.
That's the only way it could happen. Yeah.
I got a question,
Jeffrey,
for Rufus,
yes,
real quick. Because looking through the exact point model ones, and I had a few listed more oddball-y numbers for Philly because of the willingness to go for two at times that to some
have they not. This year?
Well, look,
I think their number of I looked at it, it wasn't very high this year.
You saw at the end of the half, he wanted to line up to go for two against San Francisco, and they totally butchered the execution of it. He had to take the timeout and ended up kicking.
Well, I thought he was trying to just draw them off sides
to get an extra yard
go for it.
Okay,
right?
So, but Sirianni is one of the, from the Frank Reich,
he's progressive.
Understands the go for two down by eight as well. Is there more willingness for, like, let's say, like, Eagles to land on 19? Okay, I know that's an oddball score. 40-1. Nothing like that because of the 2-point conversions, or is it just...
So I haven't modeled that for specific teams, no. But I could – so I have my algorithm, my numbers that say based on this spread and total, this is what it should be. This is what the distribution should be. But, you know, if something maybe was a small edge on an oddball number, I might look at it and say, okay, well, Philly is more likely to go for two and have an oddball number, so maybe I should – you know, essentially making a manual change a little bit or – okay. It making me more likely to take a
now, Rufus,
number.
Who does your model have on?
You make manual changes? Wow. I thought you were like super robotic on stuff.
Gilly,
props are art.
Yeah.
Like, how do I project out Miles Sanders versus Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott carries, right? Like, that's, you know.
But you, from a guy who has said to me before, the more my emotion or the more my brain enters it, the worse off I am.
Emotion, yeah.
Yeah.
Emotion's not good. I mean, emotion's great. As a human being, emotion's amazing.
Not only emotion, but like narrative, anything that's subjective.
Was there a manual change to the Buccaneers is what we're really wondering
That's
about.
Right. Was there ever a manual change to the Buccaneers? That's what this is.
No, there wasn't. But that's, yes. But I think the whole process of a prop thing is, there is art involved in terms of, or I say art, but it's about having a logical framework and analyzing things in a certain way and trying to read into what's happened recently. I mean, I think it's different if I'm modeling how good what a team sack rate is than if I'm modeling a player participation. I think that's where a lot of the art comes in. And so how do you deal with the fact that Miles Sanders, I think, had like one carry in the second half last week in a game script that would generally favor him getting more carries? They went with Gainwell. Was that a hot hand thing? Was that they were trying to rest Sanders? I don't think it was they're trying to rest Sanders, because they're out there running Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter of a game where, you know, San Francisco had no chance to win at that point without a quarterback, and Hurts has the shoulder. So
I'm happy to hear it. I'm just saying.
So what was the answer to that?
That's the big question, right? Do they think that Kenneth is Gainwell just, is it now a running back by committee? I don't know. I mean,
give us some other props.
I have a guess.
Give us some other bets that you made here.
Okay, I bet that I'll give you some point bets I placed here at the South Point. I bet that Mahomes would not have a third quarter touchdown pass.
Okay,
I'll get a price on that.
Okay, walk us through before you continue. You get to that.
So it's based on, I have him projected at like 1.97 touchdown passes, Mahomes, and so based on that, I'm able to figure out what the distribution is per quarter.
I see.
And the likelihood in each quarter.
But again, this is not the Fezzik thing. The Fezzik thing is, hey, if you knew one team was going to defer and the other team was going to receive, you know who's more likely to get the ball in the first quarter, therefore who's going to get the ball in the third quarter, and all
flows from
there.
He's just saying flip a coin on the third quarter. Right. He doesn't know who's going to get the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, if he knew Kansas City wasn't going to get the ball to start the third quarter, he would be betting it even more.
But well,
Laid it on the first quarter, too.
That's where he
flipped the coin anyways.
That's the solution there.
And I bet that he wouldn't get a second quarter passing touchdown. Those are not all going to win, probably.
No, I'm guessing not.
And I bet that he won't get exactly two touchdowns, that he won't get two or more touchdowns in a single quarter passing touchdowns.
What was the number on that?
Minus 220.
I was going to say that.
You don't want him to get a touchdown in any quarter, except you want him to get exactly two touchdowns.
Right. Literally, these bets cannot all win. Does this answer your question with the correlation?
Right.
No, this is
literally, they cannot all win and they cannot all.
Right. See,
I think they can't all lose. They can't all lose.
So this is a great thing. So again, the first time I ever had dinner with Crack, first time I ever met Crack, I'm watching a Pittsburgh Steelers Monday Night Football game with him at Piero's.
And we just need that clip out of context. The first time I had dinner with
Crack. I've done this before. Oh, people are like, you should probably rephrase that. With Bill Krakenberger. Not my first experience with Crack. But he had like he had 35 bets going. And I was like, Bill, what are you rooting for? He goes, I have no idea. Do you know generally what you're rooting for when this game starts? Or are you like barefoot on a golf course? Is that why?
I know some of the things, but I won't. But I will have only placed some of the bets for our group. I'll know in general what other people are betting, but I won't know how much necessarily is on each. So if Mahomes, for example, the Mahomes no touchdown stuff and then exactly two touchdowns is one of those examples where I might not know how much exposure we really have for the exactly two touchdowns relative to these other things. So I might be rooting for the wrong thing. So basically,
the answer is you don't.
You don't.
I mean, I know that I know certain things I'll be rooting for sure.
So certain things you will. But in the same context, then I asked, like, how long does it take you to find all these props and all these Denver books? How long does the accounting take afterwards?
Well, we have a tab called drunk grading every year where we kind of drunk grade during the game. And it always ends up very riddled with errors. But so we have an idea of how we're doing.
Riddled with errors, thus junk grade. Yes.
Meaning people are guessing how you're going to come out.
No. We're grading. We have a spreadsheet where we just copy and paste all the bets in so we can actually grade things during the game. But we're all like,
this is fascinating. I've sat with Rufus. Rufus was in San Francisco during a Saturday college football day. And at that time it was your core group. You were basically the headquarters giving out the picks, and they were
second halves, right?
Second halves, exactly. And that was just fascinating to watch that operation take place. But like, this is Meshuggah, right? Like, I mean, like, you'd go crazy.
Well, this is big time.
Yeah.
Big numbers.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
I'm just trying to like chintz out a little, you know, something, something.
You're just a mild-mannered reporter from a yes. daily Metropolitan yes. newspaper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This is like big, big stuff.
What else?
By the way, Todd, I also have, I bet at the William Hill Caesars app in Nevada, Mahomes to have exactly zero touchdown passes at 7-1 odds.
7-1.
So, and right, I think I might have bet him to have exactly one touchdown pass somewhere else.
The answer is on these type of things, your variance is probably not going to be so wild because, like you said, there's going to be some winners and some right. losers, right?
I have a bet on the Chiefs to score a third quarter touchdown.
But don't throw it.
But don't throw
right,
it.
Exactly. So it's like, I want this to happen, but not right, this, like, right. yeah.
Oh, could you imagine if...
You really take all the fun out of this, don't
I know,
you?
I seriously. Watching the Super Bowl is not fun for me.
Could you imagine if your human brain actually could process every one of these bets and was present and aware of all of them? The short-circuiting of your wires that would take place?
Rufus is making a big mistake that he doesn't understand. If he's doing this to this level, he really should be a bond trader quant, you know, where he could make the real big money. Because I don't know how much money
you're
making.
That's what Jeff told me.
I don't know how much money you're making, but you're probably not making $50 million a year. I'm going to guess. I'm going to go under on $50 million a year.
That's okay, a safe guess.
Which means if you're just doing this to make money, you should really be a bond trader. And if you're doing this for fun, you shouldn't be doing it this way. So you're messing up everything, Rufus, is basically what I'm saying. Okay. Your whole life is a disaster, and we're going to have to talk to you after the show. No, I'm just kidding, obviously. But you get because, like, in the
said action, from the king of life disasters,
no, because I'm making,
Todd Wishnev.
No, because I have often felt, like, I'm saying there's a certain seriousness to what I'm talking about. In the show Action, I talked about it. I could work on Wall Street and try to make $1 zillion yeah. and, you know, shave and put on a suit every day and do the whole thing. I mean, yeah, multiple showers a week. That would be crazy, right?
Literally, we played tennis the other day. He goes, this is my first shower of the week.
I'm disgusting. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing.
You're not playing tennis every day.
We're playing tennis every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as he's making out to be, but it's
We're
bad.
In the desert.
It's
dry.
It's disgusting. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is part of the reason that I do the sports gambling is because I like doing this, and I didn't like doing that Wall Street stuff, and to the extent that I was involved in it at all. I didn't really...
Were you involved in it at all?
Yes,
he was.
Okay. Yes.
Very, it would have been funny if he wasn't.
No, a bunch yeah, of times yeah. I was involved to a point where, you know, it could have gotten serious. But my point is, that's just a soul-draining life to me, and I wanted to do something that I enjoyed doing, which is this, and I'm not going to make, you know, one gazillionth of what I could have probably made on Wall Street, but this is fun, and it's a challenge, and I enjoy watching games and stuff. So that's where that whole
you're 100%
comment was coming from, and it's a joke, really, because really what you really love doing is modeling and stuff
like
that.
I love the
that.
Process
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
There was a time... when you and I used to, I don't know if you remember, you and I used to go, what was that name of that restaurant, that like Cajun food place on top of that bridge, right up?
Lola's.
So we used to go there. I don't even remember this. And at that time, you used to, you were younger, and you would sort of say, you know, hey, this is great now, but like I'm searching for more meaning in my life. I want to do other things. Have you come around back now to just the thought of, you know what? I might've had that thought when I was younger, but I'm kind of getting fully formed, and this is just who I'm going to be.
I don't think I'm ever going to be fully formed. We had this.
Right.
No, but I think the joy is in the process and just enjoying the moments. And so you're right. I have been sort of looking for that thing to give me more meaning. And
so let's say a political campaign called you, and they're like, hey, Rufus, we've got this new candidate. He's going to change the world.
Don't want
you to do data and find out polling and all that. Would you leave sports betting and do something like that?
I don't think I'd ever really leave entirely.
No.
I think that would be too hard.
And that would be soul crushing in an entirely another way.
Yeah, but I like new challenges though. And I can't see myself doing things exactly the same way forever.
What interests you besides sports betting?
Like, that's why Unabated was a new challenge for me. What interests me besides sports betting?
Yeah.
Playing golf.
Buddhism.
And thinking about the mind and that kind of thing. And
Don't get Gilly started because he doesn't like to go
life hacking.
He doesn't like to go out of his comfort zone when I talk about there's no free will and stuff like that. He gets very uncomfortable.
We have a free Todd and I have a running lifetime free will conversation, which I don't want to bore anybody with here, but it gets pretty ugly.
If I ever write a book, though, it's definitely going to be on sort of the mental side of betting.
I repeated something. Chrissy and I were on air on Monday. So, by the way, sorry I have my back to you, Jeff. I apologize.
That's as Todd said, the poorly designed studio.
So like the whole time I'm like this. Anyway,
well, when Todd talks, I have to like turn around like this.
Well, if I do that, I end up whacking Gil in the face.
So you said something on one of your appearances on the Numbers Game, and I love your appearances because we do get into hey, what's your pick? Although we're doing it today because it's the Super Bowl and people want to know. But something you said completely resonated with me, and I actually brought it up with Chris Andrews when he was on Monday, which is sports betting doesn't define you, but sports betting has allowed you. This so resonated with me because I totally believe this. Sports betting has defined the lens through which you look at the rest of the world. So like probabilistically speaking, if that's a word, and I believe this too. Like, so I'm in this tennis rut where, let's just take one example. Hey, I had this dog, it's +214 dog. She was up 7-5 for love. The girl quit on me, the opposite, so I didn't get paid. I had this one last night where I had 3 match points, squandered them all.
I thought you were betting on dogs playing tennis for a second.
Oh, no, the underdog. I'm sorry.
Because
no,
I was thinking about your own tennis. You're like, Gil's now graduated to
bet on his own tennis.
Playing,
he won't even bet on his own tennis.
Now he's playing tennis against dogs.
I am playing against a dog. So I guess every little, it's a reflection of the human condition. And that to me is the biggest umbrella statement of all this.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that gambling for a living has made me a better human being, as weird as that sounds. And I think I've said this to you before.
You have. Better human being meaning you understand things in a way that you otherwise wouldn't, or you're a kinder human, but you don't mean that.
I think I'm a kinder human being too.
Because of sports betting?
Yeah, because I can understand context better.
Right.
I can understand that just because a bet doesn't win doesn't mean it was the wrong bet necessarily.
Right.
And
right.
Just because somebody's being an asshole to me doesn't mean that they're a bad person or they don't have their own shit going on in their lives.
Well, that's true, but some of them are assholes. You're right.
But why are they assholes? This is how you think if you're like, it's like, why did Miles Sanders not get any carries in the second half or get one carry, right? Like, why is this person an asshole? They're the product of all these other things. And
you're going down a road that he does not very comfortable with.
No. I completely agree with what you're saying.
And then you realize the only thing you can control, you can't control these other people.
Like, such a dick.
Sports betting is very much about figuring out what you can control.
Suffering. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't stress about the stuff you can't control.
That's
like,
right.
Like
right.
The fact that both these teams are probably going to defer means that there's a 50, I don't know who's going to get the ball first.
Yeah.
But I can still go along and model off with that uncertainty, right? Yes. I don't know.
What percentage of people? This is what I get at. Go ahead.
Let me just finish. Like, I can't control what somebody says about me on Twitter or anything like that, but I can control how I react to it.
Yes.
And that's all I can control. Like my own mind.
For sure on the last
So that's
part.
Kind of, and that has come from like,
sometimes you can't
betting,
control that.
Which it's come from Buddhism, but I was drawn to that from betting because they're really kind of the same thing, to be honest.
I mean to be more existential, but I'm fascinated by this stuff because I want to get back to some more of your bets. But what percentage of sports bettors, I'm asking you to completely guess, what percentage of sports bettors get to the point where they are truly present with what they can control and what they can't?
Zero. Nobody. No human beings
are like, I mean, until you reach enlightenment, nobody gets there.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a process. Saying, the thing is,
and
you have to be okay with the fact that you're not going to be perfect at it and forgive yourself. Like
None of it matters anyways. This is all entertainment in the movie, folks. It's just entertainment.
I could talk about this forever.
Yes, it's just right. entertainment in the movie.
What is the percentage
of?
Oh, I thought there was a follow-up.
No. I'm just saying, like, to me, that's your success as a sports bettor, more than anything, comes down to your ability to understand that. Like, your ability to understand what is the vagaries of random events, right? Where you can perceive an edge, where you realize, hey, look, it's just not going to, you know, like...
It's nuance.
It's nuance.
It's a way of thinking.
Nuance, exactly. And so, like, that seems to me to be a sliver of the people who honestly
it's a sliver
the
of the population.
Of the population.
Just go talk to 10 people right now in the sports book. The amount of nuance that you get is close to zero.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the world that we have.
Yeah.
You know,
what are the bets you
make? I mentioned that no roughing the passer prop that I used to bet at the Wynn, and the fact that books are better at pricing things when they get more feedback. And as somebody who bets for a living, I get so much feedback. And I think that's why bettors are able to better understand uncertainty and be process driven, because you have to. You get all this feedback, and if you're not using it, I mean, you're not going to be in this industry very long.
Feedback meaning what specifically?
Results.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I mean,
you get instant feedback.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There is a scoreboard.
Yeah.
If you're forecasting oil prices in 20 years, like, you probably have no idea what you're doing because you never get feedback.
It's what makes all of this so fascinating. It's the reason why we love this, right?
It's our forecast for climate change. Like, I remember back in 2000 when I was in college, like, that sea levels would rise X amount by now, and they haven't yet been, but I'm not, like, because we don't know the timing of that exactly. Right. It's so hard to forecast.
Rufus, it's why, like, whenever, I'm just looking at some of Woj. There's a Woj bomb about some scuffle or some argument between Westbrook and Darvin Ham. No, but it's also why, like, whenever I see anybody do an economic projection, specifically economy, always gets me. It's like the most inexact science there is, right? And I always, like, there's a little voice in my head that's like, who are you bullshitting?
Too many variables.
Too many moving parts. None of us knows.
I agree.
None of us. And we keep acting like someone
is expert.
There's
only one thing we really know.
Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Today, me and you are going to play tennis. You're going to lose all the games. That's the only thing in life that we really could 100% know.
You got it in there.
Knowing what you don't know is more important than what you do know.
And being okay with saying that you don't know is also the most important thing.
The people that I think are the smartest people are the ones who are able to show weakness and say when they don't know things.
Vulnerability. Absolutely.
Just in general. I mean, someone that comes across as knowing absolutely everything, I feel like has a ton of blind spots. We all have blind spots. You just need to know what your blind spots are.
What are the bets you make? Because we have a limited time here, so I want to get into some stuff.
Okay, I think I mentioned I like there being under sacks, under 5.5 sacks for the game.
Total under 5.5 sacks.
Yeah, you have to lay a price for that, but
okay.
But I think that the quarterbacks are more influential for sacks than the opposing defenses are.
Mm.
And especially Mahomes, who, I mean, there is concern with his ankle a little bit that maybe he'll get sacked more if he doesn't have that same mobility. But sacks are very much a quarterback statistic. And Mahomes has been pretty good at, I mean, my projection for him, I think he's projects out as like a 4.4% sack rate guy against an average defense. And league average is around 6% or so, 6.5%. That's percentage of dropbacks that are sacks. And so to me, that matters more than the fact that the Philly defense has sacked like 13%, played to like a 13% sack rate this year.
What's Hurts' rate?
I haven't projected like 6.6%. Like, that's not for this game. That's his sort of power rating for it, or 6.9%. And so
Kansas City has sacked 13% of the dropbacks this year?
No, no. I'm saying the Eagles have gotten generated sacks on a ridiculous number. They have like 79 sacks this year.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy. But the thing is, that regresses pretty strongly to the mean. Like, that, just because they've done that doesn't mean it's that predictive going forward. At least that's what I found.
What are some of your other long shot props you got there?
Long shot props.
200-1 on the Chiefs to score zero.
Circa app, game total points, 2-23, 40-1.
Wait, say that again?
Game total points, 2-23 points.
Yeah, so basically there'll be 23 or fewer points scored in the game, 40-1 odds.
40-1 odds.
They have here, I think, I saw 0-14 was 75-1, I thought.
0-14, though, that's a different story. Yeah.
23, yeah. I guess you'd get 13.
And the final score, Chiefs 7, Eagles 3. Thanks for coming.
What was 10-3 in the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Rams?
13-3. 13-3.
I bet some weird stuff. Like the Eagles to have it the win, 71-80 rushing yards, 25-1.
71-80, that range.
And 101-110 at 15-1.
I wish our brains processed all of this.
The thing is, it comes from a distribution. Yeah, yeah, it's a distribution.
He's doing the standard deviations of what the averages are.
We understand, Todd. We understand.
I'm telling you, the audience.
We don't need you to interpret it.
I'm not explaining it to you, Gilly. We know you know. Jeffrey Parles, maybe, maybe not. But the...
What's interesting on some of these is like why didn't I like 81-90 or 91-100? And it's because a lot of these index props, there's cut points. Like a book will offer, you know, it's like 20-1, 20-1, then 15-1, 15-1. Right.
What are some of the props that you have not bet yet that you are waiting for the public to bet up?
All the player unders, basically. I'm sure I'll bet Hurts under rushing yards. Like, and it's going to get to, maybe it'll get to like 55. I don't know what it's going to get to exactly, but.
So I can't remember if you did this on this show or on a numbers game, but did you already talk about the logistics of Sunday? Was that this show? I can't remember now.
I think so.
Okay, so.
Because you want to wait as long as possible for some of these. Like Mahomes under.
When is it going to get crowded?
Like, I'm going to bet Mahomes under passing yards. I can almost guarantee it. Even though my number's like 289 or something like that, it's going to, I'm sure I'll get under 300. Last year, Cooper Kupp receiving yards was the big one where
still can't
that number was, it opened maybe 98.5 or something like that. And it closed like 110.5 at a lot of places. Jeez. So
how many did he end up with?
92.
And he won MVP.
Yeah. Jeez. He didn't get 100, but
what percent off of your average that your model makes it until you decide, oh, now there's a bet. Like, for instance, if a guy's 100 receiving yards, does it have to get to 110 for you to be in?
That's a great question. So actually we have something called the unabated prop simulator where I can actually put in my mean,
there you go.
My mean number of receptions and receiving yards and run simulations. And it'll basically come up with that median in the distribution and tell you what your edge is at all these different books based on what their spreads are. So it integrates with the prop odd screen,
interesting.
Which is nice. And that does it. That's for a generic wide receiver who projects its 7 catches for 91 yards. But that's going to be pretty damn accurate for.
But typically, how much off of the number are you looking to get? Like, where's the break even point?
So so there's a difference between a guy's median and mean projection. Mean being like just the average. I don't know if you know that.
I understand.
Todd. Okay.
Todd's a pretty smart guy, Rufus. Yeah. He's got a big brain.
So the. If you're saying what's the difference in points between the median,
I'm just trying to make it for people who are not as.
I'll put it this way: if I have Jalen Hurts projected at 50 rushing yards, I will be betting under 50 rushing yards.
If you have him projected,
if I have his mean at 50,
okay,
yeah, right. Because there's going to be a difference between the mean and the median.
Okay,
and so you're slated down. So when would you? When would you bet over?
Okay, think about somebody like Pacheco. And his receiving yards, which is lined, I don't know, it's lined at like 10.5 or something, maybe.
It's low.
Maybe a little higher than that. But that's going to come down to, I mean, he's projected for 1 point something catches. Like my mean number on him might be like, let's say I project him for one cat. Let's say I project him for like 1.3 catches in 11 yards. So that's not actually, that's a number I just pulled out of my ass. But
I understand
what the issue is. You know what? There, yeah. I have like the... Under 10 would be a fantastic bet, even though I projected for more, because for him to get over that, he's going to probably have 2 catches. unless he has one catch for over 10 yards. But, and so it, that's where
I understand. Yeah. It gets real distribution-y is the answer to the question.
And I, because you have these, because things are happening, not continuously, not like assists are racked up in a basketball game, but they're happening in chunks. And so the,
you don't get five 20-yard catches to get to 100. Yeah. You get a 40 and then a 7 and then a that.
Well, and this right. guy's projection, his mean, if his mean is, you know, 13 yards or 11 yards or something, you know, he could have a game where he has 40 yards or 50 yards. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have a game where he has negative 20 yards.
Right. Let me cut you guys off because we have a heart out here. And I just want to, first of all, there's going to be somebody out here listening to this who is super inspired to be a serious sports bettor. And they're listening to you right now and they're like, wow. This is what it takes, which I think is just an awesome thing to listen to. Let's get to everybody else's favorite. So what's your favorite prop bet, Todd?
I mean, I obviously am not a super prop guy because I'm busy with college basketball, but the one that I was just looking at that kind of jumped off the page to me, and Rufus will tell me whether I did a good job on this one or not, is Chiefs to either punt first or score first. And I looked at like all the games this year, 17 games, 6 times they punted first, 11 times they scored first.
Do you care about that going back in probably history and not, looking, right? Rufus?
No. But
I didn't think you would.
I care about the game total mostly and the spread.
And the spread.
And the spread.
Well, then that would point to me making a good bet because
what price did you get?
I think it was
plus money price.
Yeah, it
right?
was plus 120.
I think. Wait, so what'd you bet? You bet score first?
I bet they'll score
yeah.
before they will
okay.
punt.
Yeah.
I think that's the right bet.
Okay.
I make it, I think, plus 102.
Okay.
For the score first.
How'd you just come up with plus 102 in your head?
I just remember.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you're like, beep, boop, 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 plus 102.
The goulash model can spit stuff out sometimes.
Rivers is like, I got that at plus 102.
I remember because Zach asked me what I made it.
Oh, okay.
But I think that number is influenced by the fact that Super Bowls have been low scoring in the first quarter historically, or at least over the last 20 years. But again, a lot of those have been Bill Belichick in them.
And also,
the Patriots
Andy
have
Reed.
Never scored a touchdown in the first quarter of a Super Bowl, at least in this millennium.
Who did? Who didn't?
Patriots.
The Patriots.
Patriots, that's never, right. That's
so,
right.
So I think people think that the Super Bowls, because of the long, all the pageantry and warm-ups and stuff like that, that teams start slower.
But
and
it's not a big enough sample size. There's only been 50
Super Bowls. I agree. Personally, yeah. I think that people are creating that narrative after the fact.
Right. So we talked about this on a numbers game, which is it was like the Triple Crown thing in horse racing, right? Because it never happened for 37 years between Affirmed in 1978 and American Pharoah. Just because something has not happened does not mean it is likely not to happen. And it's such a small sample size.
And let's say it's supposed to happen every 23 years. The fact that it went 37 doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean a thing. Right. And it also, by the way, there were super close calls all the time. Like a horse would win the second and third. It would win the first and third. It would win the first and second and miss on the third. But people love a narrative. And they just go with it. And the Super Bowl is such a great case study of that, where it's like, oh, there's only been 56 of them. Well, this happens and this happens.
Well, the Super Bowl's only been won when a Republican president was in. Well, how many times was a Republican president?
That's right.
Like, so stupid.
So stupid. Jeffrey. Sorry about my back to you this whole
no, time. No, look, it's all good.
Poorly designed studio.
I'm waiting on Jalen Hurts rushing under. I like it at 50.5, which means once it gets bet up, I'm going to like it even more. And then I'm going off the beaten path here. I bet Zach Pascal under 5.5 receiving yards.
Wow.
I don't think he's going to even get a target in the game. And based off the way that Philly's offense has been run, or at least other than that big game against Todd's Yinzers, Pascal's done nothing this year. It's one catch here, one catch there. I don't think he's even going to get targeted. So I already bet under 5.5 receiving yards on Pascal. That's already down. Westgate's got that down to 4.5 now.
By the way, I'm a terrible host.
The question is, will he see the field? Like, you just need to make sure, right?
Yeah.
He needs to see, he needs to play for action.
I think he'll get a snap to make that an active bet. But I don't think he's going to get targeted.
Rufus, nor on a numbers game, nor on the Megapod, did I say you're a co-founder of Unabated Sports.
I appreciate it.
Co-founder of Massey Peabody Analytics. I just call you a sports bettor, but you're all these things.
I call it Peabody Massey.
Co-host of
I appreciate that.
co-host of...
You're a Peabody Massey truther.
The Bet the Process pod with Jeff Ma, who Rufus has alluded to a couple times here already. So Rufus's resume is becoming very
Jeff Ma is the guy from the Bringing Down the House. Thing,
correct.
Right?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to meet
great
that
book, horrible movie.
Yes, amazing book.
I rewatched the movie for the first time in like since I met Jeff, actually.
Jeff cameos as a dealer in it.
I know. Yeah. I saw the movie before I'd met Jeff, and I saw it again this fall, like last month. Actually, yeah.
The movie's
not
terrible.
Not this. It isn't even fall. I said this fall. Yeah. This winter. Yeah, it was very interesting. I had lots of questions for Jeff. Like, how did it feel when the girl didn't kiss you on the tee when you tried, you know, Kate Bosworth?
How does it feel like a white person playing your role? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all kinds of, 21 was the name
of the movie. The movie was horrendous.
Horrendous.
I thought the movie was entertaining.
Oh, Bringing Down the House.
I like any movie that takes place in Vegas.
And you know, the guy wrote another book. Ben Mezrich wrote another book about how, and he got more into it, about how they would start to figure out where specific cards were in the deck.
Yeah.
And they started doing that, and there was a plane crash and everything. That was really a great book, too.
Plane crash.
Yeah. He was basically doing the same thing, but they took it even more sophisticated than Bringing Down the House. And I believe it was also by him. Yeah, shuffle tracking and like where they would like steer an ace to, like, they would know it would be on the 56th position and they would be able to steer it to one of their guys. It was like really interesting.
For whatever reason, the thing that I remember the most is, besides the training sessions, was the time he had the $900,000 in a duffel bag under his lounge chair at the pool, which I thought was, and it was just like nothing to them at that time. A great book.
I remember rollerblading around Vegas in 1998 with $40,000 in my underwear because I was always nervous that I was going to get the.
Yeah.
I used to rollerblade for baseball lines all over the place.
Well, $40,000 and $12,000, yeah, those numbers.
$40,000 was a lot when I was 25 years old.
Oh, 25. So that was $1 million.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, here. Thanks. All right. By the way, mine were, for anybody who cares, mine was offshore. I did the bet online. America the Beautiful, Babyface singing America the Beautiful.
I don't even know who Babyface is.
I don't either.
Babyface is maybe the greatest R&B producer of the last 30 years. Anyway, he's singing America the Beautiful. Bet Online had it lined at 90 seconds. I told everybody on a numbers game, smash the over. It's a 109 now with the over juiced at minus 135. You cannot sing America the Beautiful in 90 seconds. Wait, I hope everybody gets it.
They opened it at 90?
Yeah.
Nuts?
Yeah, they were.
When did they start American the Beautiful as a song?
A few years back.
Which song is that? Is that the Waves of Foam?
Oh, Beautiful.
Oh, that one?
That one. Ray Charles, Betty Fabs.
Oh, so that's one?
Great, yeah. And then it's not
the Miami Dolphins song.
I also recommended a Rihanna first song. I think I'm wrong.
Riri.
Riri. Oh, who doesn't love Riri?
I would guess we fell in love in a hopeless place.
That's not the one. I was like, that's what I came for. But I'm being told I might not be right about that. But America the Beautiful, I'm confident. I hope people got
it. What's the Riri one?
I thought the first song would be, what's it called? That's What We Came For. What's the name of the song? It was 12-1.
Please don't stop the music.
Not that one either, Todd. The one that I bet on, what was the name of it?
You're getting a medley.
Isn't it interesting that Rufus doesn't bet on these? This is, I'm sorry.
His model has Riri.
This is what you came for is what I bet on, 12-1. But it's not, I'm told it's not going to win, but we'll see.
What are the other choices?
Oh, there's like 10 of them. My game prop was Travis Kelce to score two or more touchdowns at plus 475, which Rufus, you did not have, so I'm guessing it wasn't a good bet.
I don't have that. I haven't looked at what I make it, but I...
my thinking being, and I have a bet on the Chiefs to win this, so it's correlated. I just don't think, I don't care what defense you have, no one can seem to stop Mahomes to Kelce. And with those wide receivers being banged up, I think there's a bet there. And so I made that one.
I actually did bet one cross sport that Todd I know will love involves a Kelce touchdown, actually. I bet Kelce pick'em touchdowns versus Leo Messi's goals against Monaco that day. Even money on Kelce. So...
I was just looking at Zach Edey rebounds versus Chiefs first half total.
Oh, wow.
Zach Edey rebounds is minus 130. He's averaging 13.2 rebounds.
That's an interesting one,
and
actually.
He had 18 in his last game. He had 13 a bunch of times in a row. It's probably likely that he'll probably get around 13. Now, if you think about the Chiefs, are probably going to score. They're projected to score, 26-24 or 26-24.5?
Their first half team total is like 12.5, maybe?
12.5. So if you... I sort of like Now, the juice is on Zach Edey. It's minus 130, so it maybe takes away the fun. But the fact that Zach Edey could probably will get you 13, I would think that would be not a bad
Zach
bet.
Zach Edey player of the year bet is my least thought through, probably most successful bet of these last couple months.
Oh, really?
Because he's a lock.
He's a very large man.
He is unbelievably. But Zach Edey.
My model has him at about 7'8". He's only 7'2", probably.
7'4", right?
I know, but my modeling has him bigger.
Yeah, I understand. Distribution, all that kind of thing.
Tottenham stunned your nut on the Iona points versus Travis Kelce yards. Bro.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I didn't. Yeah. No, they have Cincinnati. I just saw they have Cincinnati Bearcats plus 5.5 against Travis Kelce. And I was thinking that might be a good bet for Cincinnati because Kelce, I think it's 79.5 is his total right now. And so if you're basically saying Cincinnati to get over 74 is probably not a bad bet against South Florida. They did get 86 in the first game.
All right. Well, I think Rufus, I think we've talked it through. I know you have other bets, but that was what I really want to show. Like, well, the three of us are like, here's our favorite prop bet. It's not that language. It's a different
it's computer programming.
Yes. It's just a different complete construct of how you approach these. And so but
there's still thought like, I mean, I have,
oh yeah, I didn't
there's interpreting. I mean, there's a lot of, there's artistry to it as well, for sure.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
No, but it's an amazing lesson for those who are like new to sports betting, who, you know, a lot of people just like this for entertainment. I think people listening to this podcast are probably a little more serious. There's like rec, what is that term that Tim Lawson uses? There's like,
Rec plus. Or Kevin Jack says aspiring sharps.
Jew plus.
That's what Todd is. Todd is Jew plus. Still one of the greatest ever. No need to be uncomfortable, Rufus.
I'm just uncomfortable because you guys give me too much water and now I have to pee.
We're about to go. We got to run. Good luck to everybody. Super Bowl 57, whether it's the game handicap or props. Thank you to Rufus for being on this one. Appreciate it as always. Thanks for being on multiple times this, not only today, but this year on the Megapod.
Thanks for having me.
Todd Wishnev and Jeff Parlay finishing his first football season on the Megapod.
Great job by Jeff Parlay.
I didn't embarrass myself.
Jeff Parlay coming out of nowhere, down two touchdowns to do a great job. Hey, this is John Facenda and Richie Ashburn.
I'm surprised he didn't go with the old Southern gentleman Andre Ware impersonation and the air.
Johnny Vandermeer?
Johnny Vandermeer.
What do you think, Andre? Well, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like an old Augusta, Georgia.
Gil, that was probably the moment of the year on the entire podcast. Hey,
I don't really like your type at my country club.
Gil, thank you for having me this whole
my
year.
My man.
I'll see you again in March because
yes,
there's
we'll
something
March
called
Madness.
The NCAA tournament to preview.
I'll do March Madness with you.
Will you?
You know I have a lot of stuff to talk about.
You'll have some pre-flop stuff to actually talk about?
I can still talk about it.
Okay.
I have a tendency to talk about college basketball.
You do have a tendency
to talk.
Tendency to talk.
You have other afflictions as well.
Yeah.
We'll get into those later. All right. Thank you to all. Thank you for listening all season long. Again, Indian Wells Tennis Pod is next, followed by March Madness. Thanks for listening. Good luck with all these Super Bowl bets. Yeah. Super Bowl 57.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.